الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة، يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brother Islam, everything that we see in this world has its external appearance and its internal appearance. And the external appearance of it is what is presented to us, what it looks like from the outside. And the internal appearance of it is the reality of the item. We take a fruit, for example, a lovely mango, that on the one hand, the outside of it, you can get a real mango, a genuine mango, a fresh mango, with its skin, with its peel, and you can get a fake one just for display. Both might look the same. In fact, the man-made one sometimes might look very appealing, more appealing than the real mango. And then you get the reality of it, the inside of it. And that is what is the objective. A person will purchase a mango, not just for looking at it or for decoration purposes, but to eat it and to enjoy it and to taste what it has to offer. Similarly, you might get an animal, perhaps a lion. On the one hand, you'll get a person who hunted a lion, and thereafter he takes the skin and he takes the body of that lion and he stuffs it up and he makes it look like a real lion. But it does not have that same, it does not strike the same fear in the people. A child will even go to play with that fake lion or that stuffed animal. But then when you get a real lion that roars, and that now strikes fear in the hearts of people, and people will now stay far from it and become afraid of it. Similarly, friends and elders, is the body of insan. One is our external appearance. One is our external, our outward life. And one is our reality, our internal self. On the one hand, a believer, a mu'min, externally, he will be given a very beautiful Islamic name. He will dress in a manner that people will immediately know him to be a Muslim. His appearance, his outward appearance, shows him to be a Muslim. But together with that, and the outwardness is very, very important. Our identity as a Muslim is very important. To dress in a correct manner, to have the Islamic outlook, is very, very important. But of equal importance, my respected friends and elders, is our inward also. Is our inside also. Is our ruh, is our soul. Is the iman that we have in our hearts. Is our reality of how we conduct ourselves as Muslim. How we carry out our lives as Muslim. Our ibadat. How we conduct our businesses. That is also of equal importance. And that is what the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Aminu billahi wa rasulihi. That, O people of Iman, bring Iman. It was not that they were not Muslims, they had Iman in them. But to make an effort to strengthen this Iman that we have. To strengthen the Iman. And this is what the Sahaba Ridwanullah ta'ala alim ajma'in possessed. This quality that they had in them. The people just used to look at them, their outward appearance and whatever qualities they had inside them, and they were ready to accept Islam. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the occasion of Hijrah, and Hijrah is that occasion which is the starting point of the Islamic calendar, because of the qurbanis and the sacrifices that the Sahaba had given on the occasion of Hijrah. إن الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم أعظم درجة عند الله. The very very great rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those that made hijrah, they left everything behind in Makkah al-Mukarrama and they made hijrah to Madina Munawwara. So when Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu is undertaking this journey and he is stopped by some youngsters, they refused to allow him to go to Medina safely. So he tells them that I have with me, he removes his bow from his quiver and he says that I have these arrows with me. And you know well that I am not afraid to use each and every arrow that I have. And when that is finished, I have my weapon with me, I'm going to use that against you. And I'm not going to stop until I am finished. But I have another offer for you. And their goal was the akhirat. Their goal was earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I have another offer for you. And what is that offer? I left behind all that I possessed. I've left it behind in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And I will direct you to where I have left it, in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And you can go to Makkah, I have buried it in a certain place, in a certain location. You are welcome to go, but my request is to allow me safe passage to Madina Munawwara. And they accept his request. A believer will always look to what he can achieve in the akhirah. What is his ultimate goal? The kuffar, their objective is what is in this dunya. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu thereafter continues on his journey, and when he reaches Madina Munawwara, it was Quba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not entered into Madina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in Quba, and he goes into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is smiling, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, O Suhaib, what a profitable transaction you have done. What a profitable transaction you have done. Hazrat Suhaib is shocked. O Rasul, O Nabi of Allah. Nobody else knows about what transpired. Definitely it is Jibreel Amin that has informed you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بُدِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. That amongst people are those who have sold themselves. And what was their objective? إِبْدِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. They have given everything so that they attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately today, my respected elders and brothers, the Sahaba gave everything to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are ready to sell our deen, to sell our Islam, to sell our akhirat for a few meager commodities of the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and save us. Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was fighting the Roman army, and thereafter he was captured and brought into the court of the king, and the king was informed that this is a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the king wished to convert him to Christianity. So he makes him an offer, and he tells him that if you convert to Christianity, then I will give you my daughter's hand in marriage, And not only that, I will give you half my kingdom also. But look at the iman of Sahaba. Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu replies that leave alone half your kingdom, even if you give me your entire kingdom also, I'm not prepared to give up my Islam. So the king realized that you'll have to now do something more to pressurize him. So he takes Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa and instructed that he be tied to a cross. And thereafter he instructs some of his men that don't hit him with the arrows, but fire the arrows such that they will go near to him, just to frighten him. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa is now lying on this cross, and arrows are being fired close to him. And now the king persists him that now denounce Islam, give up Islam. But he still remains firm. The king now tries something else. So he had some Muslim prisoners under him, and he asked for two Muslim prisoners to be brought. And thereafter he boils this cauldron, and when it is boiling hot, he takes one of the Muslim prisoners and he puts him in that cauldron. And this Muslim prisoner now attains shahad in this manner, whilst Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu is watching this. And now the king tells him that you are going to be next, but denounce Islam and you will be free and saved. And again he remains steadfast. So the king instructed that Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu also be made shaheed. And when Abdullah bin Huzafa was about to be thrown into his cauldron, he began tearing. Tears began flowing down from his cheeks. So the king was informed that Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa is now tearing. And the king thinks to himself that perhaps he is now buckling under the pressure. And he might be ready to give up. This is what the king thinks. So he brings Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa back to his court. And he asks him that, are you ready to denounce your religion? Are you ready to denounce your deen? But Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa refuses. So the king thereafter asks him that, why were you tearing then? Why were you crying? So Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa replies that when I was about to be thrown into this cauldron, this boiling, burning cauldron, when I was about to be thrown in, then this thought came into my mind that you are now going to leave this world. And this one life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, this one chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to live in this world, it is now going to come to an end. You are going to be made a shaheed. So tears began flowing down my cheeks. And I had this thought, I had this desire, this request, that how I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed me the number of hair on my body, the strands of hair that are on my body. I had that amount of life, and I wish that I could sacrifice each and every life that I was given to the amount of hair on my body, to sacrifice it for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the iman that the Sahaba had. The king is now left speechless. And he realizes that there is no way that I can turn this group of individuals away from their objective. Their goal was the akhirah. Their goal was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That every moment of their lives, that Allah must be happy with them. So the king tells him that I would like to release you. But now I just have one request. And what was the request that the king had now? Then kiss my forehead and I will set you free. Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu tells the king that I just need to set me free or all the Muslim prisoners that you have under you. King says, no, I will set all of them free. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa gives in to the request and he kisses the king on his forehead, and the king sets him free and all the Muslim prisoners also. When Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa thereafter returned to Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he returned back to him and he narrated his entire incident, then Amir al-Mu'mineen says that it is now our responsibility that we, our desire that we kiss the forehead of Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And saying that, Hazrat Umar stands up and goes and first kisses the forehead of Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa, and he instructs the other Sahaba to do it. From this we understand, friends and elders, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given our responsibility. And the responsibility is to bring Iman into our lives, not only externally but internally also, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strengthen our Iman. And for this, friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us opportunities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us moments. And one such moment and opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is this Mubarak gathering that is taking place in Newcastle. This Ijtima that is taking place. Friends and elders, these gatherings that come about, it is for us to sit in the company of the elders, to listen to the talks of Deen, to bring about changes in our lives, and to bring about those actions in our lives, so that how Deen can come into our life, and not only our life, but the life of each ummati, of this ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these opportunities to sit in the company of the elders, to sit in the company of the pious, to listen to the talks of Deen, and how we can better ourselves. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when they went out to the different countries of the world, on the one hand was the da'wah that they had given. But the da'wah that they had given was such that they told the people, "Kunu mithlana," become like us. They were living examples of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to show people the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, be it in our businesses, be it in our homes, be it in the marketplaces, to show the people of the goodness of Islam. Together with their friends and elders, is to bring about that environment also in our homes. And that will also strengthen and increase our Iman. To bring about Talim in our homes. And friends and elders, to sit in the company of those who have acquired this. This was the Iman that the Sahaba had. This was the Qurbani and sacrifice that they had given. We find in the occasion of Hijrah, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a need had arisen to establish an Islamic calendar. Prior to that, there was no Islamic calendar as such. The months of the year were 12. إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. The Islamic months were 12. But a letter was written to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when this letter reached him, he was not sure whether it was Shaban of this current year or the Shaban of the previous year. So thereafter he made mashwara with the Sahaba that now an Islamic calendar should be established. So different opinions were given, different rights were given as what should be the starting point of the Islamic calendar. We are now in the starting, in the month of Safar, the second month of the Islamic New Year. We just have begun the New Year. So what should be the starting point of the Islamic calendar? So some had given the opinion that the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And other opinions were given. Some had given the opinion that the Battle of Badr should be used. Some had given the opinion that Fath Makkah should be used. And different rays were given. And one ray that was given was that the Islamic calendar should be started on the occasion of Hijrah. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu chose that. And what is the reason behind it? It was this test and this trial that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu underwent. That everything that they had possessed, they had to leave it behind and go to Madina Munawwara. And what is the objective? To earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Friends and elders, we are not asked to leave everything behind. We are not asked to leave all our wealth behind. We are asked to give little bit of time, to sacrifice, make qurbani a little more of time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with their friends and elders, we also have required to make a hijrah. But our hijrah is not to leave our wealth and leave our families and go to another country. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahaa Allahu anhu. That the muhajir, the immigrant, is that person who moves away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited him from. So on the one hand, to bring about the complete obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, and together with that friends and elders, to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَا وَالْظُلُوبَ. That to move away, to make hijrah, to migrate and move away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to move away from sinning. That is our requirement, that is what is our need, and to bring about complete iman in our lives, not only outwardly, but inwardly also, to bring about the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.